We've also got metallurgical test work underway right now, where we're looking to optimize on recoveries for the Merkur project. So we'll have results out from the MET program, and of course, we're working away on the baseline study work and the PFS. So we'll have updates on progress with that work. And I think as we march closer and closer, now less than 2 years away to a construction decision, I think as we march closer and closer to that objective, I think there's a natural de-risking and value re-rate that comes into our stock as we go through those exercises.
Hugh Agro, Revival Gold, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good to be with you, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic having you, and really looking forward to this time here, getting an update on everything. It's been about a good month since I last saw you here in Atlanta, but you've had some exciting things coming up, some exciting news. But talk to me first, really, about Bear Track Arnett, and the reason I'm setting that up like that, Hugh. I talk to all my friends here in Atlanta all the time, usually every week. And what's great about Revival Gold, what's great, what's like unheard of about Revival Gold, I'm underselling that, is you have two tier one, what I would call, just my words, two tier one assets or potential tier one assets. And that's really unheard of. But let's start with Bear Track Arnett. What do you got going on?
Yeah, look, love the audience in Atlanta. You've got a great group of shareholders, investors there, and some pretty sharp people. So I'm not surprised that they have clued into the potential of our portfolio with two assets. I think we're just getting valuation in our stock right now for the one in Utah. But let's start with the one in Idaho, Bear Track Arnett. We've got two drill rigs drilling away now on the underground potential there. Recall, this is 4.6 million ounces in resource currently, but the deposit is open. It's open to the south. It's open at depth. It's open to the north. We're currently drilling in the south part of the project area. Look, we hit with results on the first drill hole through the shear zone out of this program about a month or so ago. Some really interesting grades there, 5, 6 grams over some pretty impressive widths, drilled widths of 20 to 30 meters. We're following that up. We just completed our deepest hole to date in the system, taking us down about a kilometer down hole. That's a big step out to show the depth potential of the deposit. We'll see what comes out of the results there, but I can tell you we're into the shear zone, and we're into the shear zone with a number of other drill holes in this Joss area in the underground. So lots to come here on Bear Track Arnett. Very exciting underground, high-grade target in the Western U.S., already at 4.6 million ounces of gold.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about shear zone. What exactly do you mean for all of our viewers and listeners that don't know what that is?
So it's a fracture in the earth through which the mineralizing fluids can more easily pass, and over time deposit gold in a vertically orientated situation, which is very good for underground mining, and over quite some lengths. In this case, Bear Track Arnett, the system is mapped out and it's been drilled over 3 miles to date, and with gold in every intercept into that structure. It continues to the south, and as I say, it continues underground, and that's why these kinds of systems, these orogenic gold systems, are so valuable and so important in the global gold industry. They underpin some of the most exciting, most valuable gold mines in the world.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that too, because you combined that with your grade 4.6. Is that what you said? 4.6 grams grade?
4.6 million ounces of gold.
Oh.
The average grade overall, including the open pit component of the resource, is about 1.1 grams per ton gold. But when we get into the underground material, presently there's about 1 million ounces at about 4 grams, and we continue to grow in a high grade core within the initial holes that underpin that that preliminary resource. So it's just the beginning. Deposits open, and as I mentioned just earlier, we are intersecting 5, 6, up to 12, 15 grams in the core of the deposit. This story is by no means over. We've got
Hugh,
a
that's
long way to go.
huge. That's huge grade. That's unheard of grade. So it's fantastic.
Well, I wouldn't say, Andy, it's unheard of grades. This is actually very, common for what you'd see in this kind of a system, orogenic gold system, these kinds of dimensions, these kinds of grades. And what's good about it is that large gold deposits with that deep plumbing underpin some of the most valuable gold deposits in the world. And that's what we're chasing here. We're not just chasing grade, we're not just chasing gold quantities, we're chasing dollars of value for our owners.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's very well said. But I look at grade as really as their margin, what you're operating at. So the higher grade that you're hitting, the higher margin you have on that, what you're drilling. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Of course.
Yep. Fantastic. Okay, talk to me about Murker, and I don't know if I'm more excited about the Murker project, but I would say I'm equally excited. And again, I can't reiterate enough, you have two just great projects here. But talk to me about Murker. What do you got going on?
Well, the benefit of Murker is it's on a shorter path line to production, and it's on private land, which is really important to the permitting steps that we'll have to go through. I should say re-permitting steps. Of course, both of these projects are past producing, successful past producing mines. So that's a lower risk environment already. But in the case of our Murker project in Utah, I think the real value of it is that it is going to be a relatively near-term gold producer in the United States at just the point in time when we need more production of gold and where geopolitical risk has become increasingly more important to investors. If you're going to invest in gold for insurance purposes, which many of us do, you want to be doing that in good geographic locations, and you want to be doing that with relatively low risk, quick to permit assets that can take advantage of this cycle in the gold price. So we're making really good progress on all of the baseline study work that's going to underpin the re-permitting of the site. We are on track to complete a PFS by the end of the first quarter next year. We are on track to complete permitting by the end of next year, and we are on track to be at a construction decision point early 2028. It'll take us about a year to construct the operation. It's a relatively straightforward open pit heap leach operation. Most of the resource within about 300 to 400 feet from surface. So it's very shallow, open pit, low stress, low complexity of processing with heap leach, and low capital because we've got all of this infrastructure already in place, including power line and water roads. We've just gone through an exercise of investigating the wells and completing the putting in a new pump for the water source. So all these things are de-risking steps, making really good progress on that. And we're about now about almost 20% through the 16,000 meters of initial drilling we have planned for the project this year in support of that PFS and the exploration work there.
And how far away is Murker from Salt Lake? I'm asking that just for because of infrastructure.
Yeah, so we're about 30, 40 minutes away from Greater Salt Lake City. I'm going to say 40 minutes from the international airport there. It's a huge advantage for us. Town of Tooele nearby is very supportive of what we're doing. Utah is really done a good job of building a solid regulatory environment that is supportive of businesses that can contribute to the state's economy and to the well-being of the communities. And it's really important. I mean that businesses are successful and contributing to the communities in which they're working. So I think there's a lot of reasons why we like being in Utah, but the support of government is part of it. The well-organized machine around permitting mining projects, The state apparatus, the Department of Oil, Gas, and Mining works really well. They do good work, and it's thorough work, but it's also responsive to the needs of businesses. And then, the other piece of it is there's a really great source of people, professionals in the mining industry, because, of course, Utah is home to Bingham Canyon, one of the world's largest copper gold mines. And so there's a lot of training, a lot of the university and college and technical programs around understanding mechanized equipment, mining, geology, environmental sciences, economic optimization of mining, the equipment, all these pieces that are integral to our success are innate in the state of Utah, based on their mining history, strong culture of understanding mining and mining sciences.
Yeah, excellent. And I flew into Utah. It was, I don't know, about a month or month and a half ago, and I saw the mining. I remember looking up just from the freeway, looking up to, I want to say my left. I was driving down the freeway or up the freeway, and that was Bingham Canyon right there. It was right. You could see it right in Utah, and it just showed me just the support and just the infrastructure Utah already has for mining. And you are also right on the fairway, as I call it, correct? Merkur
Yeah,
Project.
just on the other side of the Ophir Mountain Range from Bingham Canyon. So, great location.
Yeah, fantastic. Another thing that you guys actually sold some assets. Tell me about that and what that meant for the company and generating even more cash flow for you guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it particularly meaningful in terms of quantum, but we had a non-core phosphate asset, of course. There's a lot of interest in these strategic minerals like phosphate right now, as parts of Africa and the Middle East are held up. And I think it was just an opportune time for us to take some cash and some shares in a focused junior doing work on phosphate and developing that out. So a good outcome for the Diamond Mountain project, in which we owned a 51% interest. The other thing we've done, Andy, is put in place a shareholders' rights plan. So in this general under this general heading of cleaning up our business and looking after our shareholder interests, I'd say that's something that we needed to look after. We are all for creating opportunity for our investors, and we have a very active corporate development effort. But I think there'll be a time and a place at which we'll want to deliver on the full value of our assets. As I said on the outset, we're certainly not seeing the full value of our assets right now, and we've got to take care that there's isn't any corporate activity that's not well thought through for the benefit of all of our owners. And the board of Revival Gold is very conscious of that, independent chairman, independent committee chairs, and very focused on delivering maximum value for our owners as we progress these projects, and deliver up all the value that you and I certainly see here.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And to all my viewers and listeners, one of the first conversations I had with you, and by just full disclosure, I am a shareholder, and Revival Gold is a sponsor of naturalresourcestocks.net. Then saying that, I met with you. It's been about 6, 7 months. I met you in Atlanta, and we got to see the city, spent some time together. And one of the first things that you told me when we were talking about Revival Gold, and it really stood out to me, and this is to all my viewers and listeners, you told me, Andy, I'm a shareholder first. And I can't tell you how much of a big of an impression that made in on me, Hugh. And then you come out with the shareholder agreement, bill of rights, whatever you want to call it. It really shows that you have the shareholders, and that's the problem in a lot of public companies. They don't have the shareholders' best interest, and that's just not the case with you or Revival Gold. So I'm very grateful for that. Talk to me a little bit more about news that you have or what investors should be aware of over the next several weeks or coming months. Walk me through the next, really through the next quarter, through the fall. What do you have on deck that investors need to pay attention to?
Well, we'll be back to you, I would say, in the next month or two with drill results from Bear Track Arnett. We started this discussion around the drilling that's going on in the deep underground target there that's high grade and very prospective. So that is going to be very exciting for our owners. We'll see where the drill results come out, but we'll have them in the next month or two. And the other thing that's going on, of course, we've got another two rigs on our Murker project in Utah. And you might remember that we started that drilling in the higher grade South Murker part of the deposit. So we'll have results coming out of that. So lots of drill results. We've also got metallurgical test work underway right now, where we're looking to optimize on recoveries for the Murker project. So we'll have results out from the MET program. And of course, we're working away on the baseline study work and the PFS. So we'll have updates on progress with that work. And I think as we march closer and closer, now less than 2 years away to a construction decision, I think as we march closer and closer to that objective, I think there's a natural de-risking and value re-rate that comes into our stock as we go through those exercises. Lots of ongoing corporate discussions and interest for sure. And remember, we're fully financed to get to that construction decision in early 28. So no need to do any equity raises here, and lots of upside in the stock based on where we see the value here and where some of our peers are trading. So look, it's all green lights as far as I can see, and lots of good news flow to come.
Yeah, fantastic. And I'm going to see you at I'm going to see a Rural Symposium in 26 Rural Symposium in July. Is that correct?
You bet. Yeah, Rick's highlighted Revival Gold as one of his top picks, and we're really excited to be part of that conference. This will be our second year coming, and you were reminding me off air that big move in the stock came following that that onslaught of interest through the Rural Symposium, and I would expect we'll see quite a lot of interest this year around as well. It's going to be a busy one.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's where I met you, and we got to really started to get to know each other was at that conference. I'm really looking forward to seeing you there, but I want to have you on again before we get there and just talk about any news that's hitting and to launch into that conference. Sound good?
You bet.
All right. Hey, Hugh, always a pleasure having you on. I'll have you on anytime. Again, to all my viewers and listeners, I'm a very happy and active shareholder. Hugh Agro and Revival Gold are a sponsor of Natural Resource Stocks. Thank you so much, Hugh.
Thank you, Andy.